show is a proud member of Friends in Tech at friendsintech.com.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
So now where are they going to put Watson now that he's conquered Jeopardy?
Over there, in the media corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts to disregard all safety rules. Here your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
Welcome to Technorama for Friday. Friday? Since when are we recording on Fridays? I don't know. February.
We're not recording on a Friday.
February 23rd. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and all things geek. This time travel stuff is just killing me.
Yeah.
I don't know what day it is, let alone what century or what reality, dimension,
What are you having, TARDIS lag?
Who lag? If this is your first time listening to Technorama, we have pity on you. Thank you for joining us. If you're a returning listener, wow, welcome back. We appreciate you giving us your time. I'm Chuck Tomasi, and with me is Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
I am awe-inspired.
Awe?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Do you have some awe? Does that make you awesome?
Yes.
Awesome-o?
Yeah, awe-dash-some. That's right.
We won't go there. Let's turn back the clock. No, it's just messing with my mind. I can't take it tonight.
Just move forward. Keep moving forward.
Which way, when you get twisted around and have double reverse logic, it's hard to tell which way is forward.
That's the problem I've had all my life.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
That explains it. Coming up in this episode of Technorama, we've got, of all things, bizarre Doctor Who comic, a couple of futuristic ways to get around, and some good and not so good predictions from yesteryear. All that coming up right for this.
Technorama. I like this place. It's got variety.
Welcome to Hoover Dam, folks. My name is Charlie, and I am the number one dam guide at Hoover Dam. It's been a pleasure taking this group around and showing them the parts of this marvelous engineering structure here. Take it away, Chuck.
And Craig.
Before we get started, we want to give a shout out to the chat room. We are here live every Sunday night. I think it's Sunday. Yes, that's what the calendar on the computer says.
Last time we checked, it wasn't Friday.
Sunday night, 9:30 Eastern Standard Time, or daylight savings, or whatever it is. It's always 9:30 in our part of the world. And we've got a live chat room, live webcams, and then we put that on the web for you to enjoy later. But hey, these people contribute. They're part of the fun.
See, they're here, and they're participating now.
We have in the chat room, Craigum P.I., Sniglet Tomasi, AIG79, Anonymous Caller Frenji, Claudio Muppet Show, Captain Rootbeer, Debdrop, and Cassette One, Gru, Shinlori 319, the Dano. Oh, love the Hawaii 50 reference.
Yeah.
The Undecided, Tim Goes to Hollywood and ZML 2008. He should have been like ZML 1988, but
hey, I think
for tonight.
Cassette One is actually that Lost Love mixtape that we...
Did it have Frankie Goes to Hollywood and Duran Duran on it?
I said love. It was more like, you know...
Oh, you mean like the Power Ballads one?
Yeah, that's right.
Where you get like always, White Snake.
What was it? Always. And what was some of the other
always
songs?
Was Atlantic Star. I was talking about the one where you get the heavy metal bands that sing the love song. And it turns out to be their biggest hit. Which means they were no good as a metal band.
That's right.
All right. Looking at the birthday calendar, we have February 23rd, Keith Hughes, a.k.a. Ed Gizmo. I think we said that last week, but since this airs on the 23rd, I could be wrong.
Happy birthday again.
Other calendar. Happy birthday again. Yeah, last weekend this week. 25th is Norbert. 25th, Sandy Shepard, Mark's lovely wife. Mark is a longtime listener and a frequent chat room visitor. February 29th, one of those leap year babies, Paul Dove, a.k.a. Elmer from Malmesbury, UK. Boy, I probably just slaughtered that. But
so I guess this year he gets a pass, right?
That's right. He's only like 8 years old.
How do you celebrate your birthday if it's on the 29th?
I don't know. I think they do it on March 1st, but that is kind of crazy.
Okay. Yeah.
You have four times the funding every leap year.
Yeah.
You save up.
You know, I know it stinks for people that have birthdays in December, but on the 29th, you know, February 29th, you only get gifts like every, 4 years?
Well, tell people to save, invest. it's like a CD or a
they're going to have to wait to give me gift. If I got to wait for gifts that long, you know, I want like Ferraris and stuff. You know, I want some high dollar.
Happy birthday to all those people on the birthday calendar. If it happens to be your birthday and it's your birthday this week and we didn't mention you, happy birthday to you just as well. If you want to get on the birthday calendar, go to chuckchat.com/wiki or just go to the Technorama page and click on the wiki link that we so lately put up. All right. It's history time.
Oh, cool.
On this day in history for February 23rd, 2011. It was today in 1455. It's the traditional date for the publication of the Gutenberg Bible. Not, what's his name, Gutenberg from the 80s films. This is the first Western book
Steve.
Printed with movable type. I prefer WordPress.
Charles Martin Hall produced the first samples of man-made aluminum. After several years of intensive work on the state in 1886, he was assisted by his on this project by his older sister, Julia Brainerd Hall.
She did all the hard work. He just took the credit.
Her name says it all.
The Brainerd. Federal Radio Commission, later named the Federal Communications Commission, begins to regulate the use of radio frequencies in the United States today in 1927.
And it was February 23rd, 1941, that plutonium is first produced by and isolated by Dr. Glenn T. Sobag and
Seaborg.
Seaborg.
Sobag. Today marks this date in 1947 that the International Organization for Standardization, or ISO, is founded. IOS. Apparently, they couldn't standardize their own acronym.
Hey, that's right. The first mass inoculation of children against polio with the Salic virus
soft.
Begins.
you
read this?
I'm giving you the easy ones and you're messing them up. Sock vaccine.
In Pittsburgh today, I can say Pittsburgh, in 1954.
It was also today, 1987, that Supernova 1987A is probably the first standardized, badly named, non-creative name. Supernova, seen in the Large Magellanic Cloud.
A small fire occurs in the Russian space station Mir on this day in 1997.
You got Mir right, thanks. Happy birthday goes out on this day to Russian cosmonaut. Now you got me doing it. Cosmonaut Vasily Lazarev, born today in 1928.
Also, happy birthday goes to Star Trek's Nurse Chapel and the voice of Enterprise D computer Major Barrett Roddenberry. Born today in 1932.
American comic book writer Doug Mensch celebrates his 63rd birthday today.
1949, Marc Ganu, French-Canadian astronomer.
He's an astronaut.
He turned 62.
And finally, okay. Michael Dell. Yeah, that Michael Dell turns 46. And that's the way it was, as badly as we did it, on this day in history for February 23rd, 2011.
We're rewriting history as we go.
All right.
Good news, anyone?
In the news, we have apparently Detroit has come up with a statue. They wanted to make a statue of something that represents, you know how Philadelphia has Sylvester Stallone and his famous Rocky pose, and other cities have monuments to Hollywood films that were filmed there. Well, Detroit's only real notable movie that they could think of was RoboCop. And when they put up a proposal to get a statue of RoboCop, apparently the legislature said, nah, I don't know if it was too violent or something.
Yeah, they weren't going to pay for it. But you know what? That's the beauty of the internet. They don't have to.
Why?
Because over on Kickstarter, I don't know if you're familiar with Kickstarter. It's a website. It's like an incubator site. If you have a project that you need funding to get moving on, you can post it up here with a prospectus and a video and all that kind of stuff, and get people to donate towards your project. And they've got a pledge. They had a pledge goal of $50,000, but they exceeded that. Now they're at $60,615.
So they can build a bigger statue.
So they can actually afford it now, because they were looking for 50 grand. Now they got more than that. So there you go. In Charlotte, you know, we got a pseudo statue to a movie.
What do you have?
Remember in Hellraiser when they buried the cube in concrete, and at the end of the movie it came out as a big circle?
Okay. Yeah.
Well, the big circle is actually a statue, or is a sculpture in downtown Charlotte.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I was watching the movie one time, and I went, hey, why does that look familiar? Oh, heck, that's in Charlotte. And sure enough,
there's some big circle-y things in San Diego, too, if you go by the airport.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Wonder if I haven't seen the ones in Charlotte.
The world is a big circle.
All right, we also have Hacks and Strange Stories. Lenny's a little late tonight. We'll have to talk to him about that.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Wait a minute. I just realized the caption on the webcam still says Technorama Network, February 23rd. That's not right. This isn't the network show.
Oh, Chuck.
I fix it live. How do you like that? 23, yeah. That'll give you a reason to watch.
Yeah, that's right.
First story up is from Mark in Memphis. He writes to us about the Honda Sit-in Scoot. These are the same people that brought you the Osimo.
The Sit-in Scoot.
Now,
okay.
I'm not sure why the video is subtitled, because it certainly looks like they're speaking in English, or maybe they should have just shot an English version, because it's hard to tell what language these are in. Let me bring up the image of that thing. This is sort of a chair Segway thing, is the best way I can describe it. And this lady comes in carrying what looks more like a high-tech vacuum cleaner or something, and the other lady says, what is that? Oh, you've got to see this. And out come these two pedals, and the top unfolds into this seat. And she says, wow, that's great. I want to ride one too. So they're both tooling around the office in their little...
Here, sit in my lap. That's right.
Sit and scoot things. Like, seriously, do we need this stuff? I mean, it's cool technology from a, you know, a balance and motorization mechanization process, but I just don't see people buying these things, and I also question what the weight limit is on these. Now, it does have, I will say, if you watch the video, it's got neat wheel traction. Because it's got those multi-directional wheel things where it's got rollers that are kind of diagonal.
It's when she was holding it, it's kind of sliding sideways and
That's what makes it neat. And I saw these for the first time at the first robotics competition a couple of years ago, because one of the robots would move not only forward and backwards, but if it was stuck against the wall, it would just move sideways. Like, why can't I have some of those on my car? That would make parallel parking just a piece of cake.
Well, we saw cars doing that in our last show.
Moving sideways? Oh, no. Yeah, the ones that look like airplanes?
Yeah. But you know what? I could see something like this in like large warehouses or something where you need to, you know, just physically go, not necessarily carry something, but go from one end to the other. That kind of thing. But
if you don't want the sitting down version, thinking you might get, you know, a little... sitting down job problems that have weight gain and whatnot. There's also the solo wheel, which is the same thing basically without a seat. It's sort of a unicycle Segway.
You know, my luck, I would take it out the side and start riding it and hit like a little rock and do a face plant.
The ones like from Wisconsin would need chains on the wheel.
Chains. I don't know if you can put chains on those wheels.
Yeah, this was... I could just see, you know, wheel into this thing with when Waz is playing his Segway polo. I'm here.
Yeah.
That would be funny, actually. You pull up on one of these, get off and hop on a Segway to play polo.
Yeah.
What was the point of that?
You know what would really stink is... You have one of these, and you ride it around, and the battery dies in an inopportune place. You got to carry it around.
Well, that would be easier than pushing your Segway. Can you see? That would be a classic technology fail.
Awkward.
I would love to see a video of somebody pushing a Segway.
Pushing a Segway.
Run out of juice? Well, at least this one you could pick up and make it mobile.
Yeah.
That's pretty funny. All right, yeah, that's
the solo wheel does look kind of neat, but again, that's kind of weird.
We have a couple of things in the Remember When. This is good stuff here. Hold on.
Remember when you had to burn wood or some fossil fuel to cook your food? Remember when you had one phone in your house and it was attached to the wall? Remember when computers filled a room the size of your garage? Technorama remembers.
And one of the things Technorama remembers is flying boats. Yeah. The flying boats are the old day in the late 30s, early 40s. It was kind of a seaplane thing. It was a plane that could land and take off on water because it was a lot easier to do that than build a runway, manage an airport, that kind of thing. It was more of a harbor thing. These things had space in them. So from the flyingboatforum.hostingdeliver.com, the Flying Boat Forum, there's a place I visit every day.
Yeah, say that three times fast.
We have a series of pictures. I'm going to roll these on the webcam, too, just because it's really cool stuff.
It is cool. There was I mean, we should remember them because we said so, but I guess they were real. I mean, there a lot of people use them?
Yeah. And they've got a lot of pictures in here. Some were military-based, and some, like the image I've got on the screen, man, there's a full-scale dining room in this thing.
Like, I know. That's what I'm looking at.
I want to go back to those days.
Now, obviously, it's not as efficient as some of the newer planes as far as space, you know, and having...
Oh, you mean
handling.
Like cramming people on like cattle?
Yeah.
This is more like a luxury cruise.
Mm-hmm.
There's a photo in here of people playing backgammon. There's like four people sitting face-to-face at a table. There we go. There's a full bathroom in here. Like, man.
Where do they put your luggage?
Down below? I don't know. There's a floor plan in here somewhere. I got to find that. The cruise quarters, the cabin where the navigator sits, looks like he's got a bigger desk than I have at home. This is nuts. And just the space in here, there's sleeping cabins like a train car, a full buffet. They got two chefs out there. Now, I'm trying to figure out, obviously a takeoff and landing is going to be a little bumpy. Maybe they didn't fly. What do you do when you encounter turbulence?
And just how many times has that been a problem on regular plane?
Oh, my glass of wine tipped over.
Yeah, well.
There you go. We got the control cabin. We've got lounges downstairs. We've got a dining area, sleeping cabins.
No, I mean, how many times have you incurred turbulence on a flight that you've been on?
Yeah, but the cups are so small, it doesn't matter. It all gets soaked up by the napkin.
Yeah. No, I'm asking you, how many times has that been a problem?
A few. I mean, it'll start bumping and the drink will start sloshing.
I mean, I can think of one flight that I had and it went on for a little while and it started to make me a little, you know, anxious, like, what's going on? You know, because it's like... It was like they went into an air pocket or something and kind of drops a little bit or something. Gives that little jerky feeling.
The undecided in the chat room says, I hope the china doesn't break.
Yeah, no kidding.
Got real dishes in this.
That's some beautiful stuff there. Yeah.
All right, another prediction that wasn't quite right. You'll like this one. A flying boat, that would be interesting to bring those back if they were somewhat economical. It's kind of a luxury cruise kind of thing.
Hey, let's bring back, airships, too.
Okay, you might not need a flying boat if this other prediction came true. From December of 1929 in Modern Mechanics, human wings are predicted. Yeah, that's right. Human wings are predicted by Dr. Lucien Bull, a director of the Marie Institute at Paris, who seriously advanced his theories before groups of American scientists. Dr. Bull believes the human wings will come as perfectly natural and logical development and saw nothing in his startling claims to arouse surprise. Quote, a man who is able to run upstairs ought to be able to fly, unquote, he maintains.
I agree.
I'm not sure I understand the parallelism between that, but maybe if there's a window at the top and you run right out the window, you got something there.
And he didn't mean really flyers in like fly, move fast.
Another quote, all that is necessary is to adapt ourselves to the air. I don't mean to say there are no problems to be overcome. There are plenty of them. But I'm convinced the development of light, strong, metal-like magnesium aluminum will continue until some alloy is perfected from which human wings weighing about a pound can be fashioned, unquote. Well,
so he's not talking about evolution here.
No, he's not talking about evolution. He's talking about technology.
And you know what? He's right. What about ultralights?
Yeah. I mean, it's not human wings. You still have an engine to deal with.
Lightweight aluminum. I was thinking,
do these things have to flap? Because you'd need some pretty strong pecs to do that.
No, you have gliders and ultralights. I mean, you know. He was right.
I like his next prediction. It's kind of like the Jetsons. Dr. Bull is of the belief that human wings should be about 8 feet long and 3 feet wide. He pointed out that it will be a real convenience to be able to fly to work each morning instead of riding in crowded trolley cars or automobiles.
And his colleagues were quoted as saying, duh.
There's the sell. Nobody wants those trolley cars. I hate dealing with the trolley cars.
I want jetpack.
Hey, there's a water-powered jetpack I saw this week.
How much?
Granted, you can only go about 20 or 30 feet off the water before your intake hose disconnects.
Yeah.
But
it was fun while it lasted.
Tooling around pretty good. All right. On the more reasonable predictions, Nikola Tesla, 1926. We love this Remember When stuff. January 25th. Application of radio principles will enable people by carrying a small instrument in their pockets to see distant events like the sorceress of the magic crystal fairy tales and legends, Nikola Tesla, electrical inventor, predicted today. Mr. Tesla, who on several occasions has tried to communicate with the planet Mars, how'd that work out for you?
Now he's lost me.
made his predictions in an interview published in the current issue of Collier's Weekly. Quote, we shall be able to witness the inauguration of a president, the playing of a World Series baseball game, the havoc of an earthquake, or a battle, just as though we were present, Mr. Tesla said. You know, you can do that. You can do that on your cell phone today. That's a pretty amazing prediction for 1926.
Yeah, you know, yeah, he was amazingly on the ball. And you know what's funny is, like you said, hey, that sounds great. That sounds great. And then all of a sudden he starts talking to Mars. Okay.
Well, now wait a minute. He's been trying to communicate with Mars, but he didn't know that the Mars rover wasn't up there yet.
Yeah. Oh, he was predicting that as well.
Right. How long does it take for the communications to get back anyway?
It makes sense. Yes.
See? You can talk all you want, but it's not much of a communication if nobody's talking back.
Well, you know, even with Nostradamus, some of the predictions that he made, a lot of people tried to read into it and go, well, this could be this event or this could be this event. But that's pretty specific, you know, about watching TV. That's pretty good. That's spot on.
I thought that was amazing. Mm-hmm. That was a good one. All right. We have a quick break for the Media Corner, and then we'll be right back. We got to find that music stuff.
Technorama, it'll drive you crazy.
Tell me what you think about Technorama.
You know what? Technorama has got to be in the top five podcasts that I have not listened to.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here, in the media corner.
Kind of like testimonials, right?
Not that kind.
In the media corner. Hey, last week Watson was on Jeopardy. Watson, yeah the
so
new
did
IBM.
Did you watch computer. It?
I watched bits and pieces from the web. I did not record or sit down and watch. Some of us are working all day.
We'll get to the clip here in a second, but I was trying to get Harrison real excited about it because I was thinking when I was a kid, if I saw something like that, I'd be like glued to the TV.
Just having a computer talk was amazing when we were young.
Yeah. And then, you know, I would be glued to it to see what it can do. And I guess maybe he's just inundated with so much technology nowadays. Like, oh, that was pretty cool. Like, what?
Jeez. That was pretty cool. He missed it.
The computer was answering questions on Jeopardy.
Live. Yeah.
But he watched it and, you know, thought it was pretty cool. But yeah, I mean, to me, that's just amazing.
And then Conan O'Brien had him on his show and I thought it was going to be more like an interview. No, you got to watch the clip. He actually tries to take over for the announcer of the show.
Yeah. It takes over for Andy Richter.
That was funny. And then Randy didn't like it. So
then he started cutting on Andy's wife.
No, it was kind of Randy. He was quoting Randy's wife.
Or Andy, sorry. Yeah, that was hilarious. So, yeah, check it out. And Watson gets his.
Okay. Also, in the media corner, I had a just something that came across the news feed. It was an animated GIF that I thought was kind of funny. It was from Star Wars Empire Strikes Back. It was one of these behind-the-scenes thing. And the caption was, "Luke, I am your beer wench." And it's a picture of Leia bringing Luke, he's sitting on Hoth in his X-Wing, and Leia comes up and hands him a beer. And I thought, that's just one of those things you don't see. It's one of those behind-the-scenes things that's kind of fun to watch. Doesn't even make it out of the director's cut.
But kids, you should not drink and fly.
That's right. X-Wings.
Especially when you went into battle.
No wonder he was flying in circles around the AT-AT.
Well, I mean, that's an X-Wing. He wasn't...
Whoa, I don't remember putting my line out there.
Yeah. Hey, what's funny, you look at the can, it's one of those old steel cans.
Oh.
You can see it's riveted on the side. not riveted, but riveted. Tacked together on the side.
No, riveted on the side.
No, remember the old steel beer cans?
Yes, yes. They were welded.
Okay, fine.
Riveted.
Semantics, okay, I got
it. Titanic was riveted.
See where I got it. Yeah, I just thought I did think that was funny. That's one of those things I've never seen.
All right, two news stories from me this week. We're turning from the news feeds to the internal stuff. Number one, I quit Foursquare. After about 5 months, I gave it up. The original lure was, hey, you can be mayor of these places, and if you're mayor, you get like a 5% discount, and you can also see where your friends are and meet up with them and cool stuff like that. And I went, oh, that sounds kind of fun. So I did it for a while and gave it a shot, and I earned about a dozen or so mayorships and a dozen or so badges. But I started to get a little frustrated because, A, I would have to – checking in was not a simple process. As simple as I thought it would be or would like it to be. Granted, if you turn on the location services and whatnot, I go to drop the kids off for school. Okay. Turn on the phone. Unlock it. So there's five buttons I've pressed so far. Bring up the app. That's at least two. Then wait for it to find your location, which could take 15, 20, 30, 60 seconds, depending on where you are and where your signal is.
Yeah, true. Mm-hmm.
Find the place, say you want to check in, then I turn off tweets, because if I turned on tweets and Facebook, people would say, what's this? What's Foursquare? Why do I care that you're at the high school? Are you looking for children?
Yeah. Like, you looking for a date?
Right. Now, is this secure to tell me that you're out and about and rather than being at home so I know I can rob your house? I got tired of explaining it. Then, if I'd go to someplace and say, hey, you know what? I'm the mayor. They go, you're the what? On who, what? Yeah. Your what hurts now? You know, there were no discounts. The only benefit I really got out of Foursquare was that I got a luggage tag at the airport.
What?
One of those
give you those, man. What do you?
Well, no, this one actually says I visited Outagamie County Airport on Foursquare.
But not in person.
I'd run out and do three quick errands, and by the time I got to the third one, I'd go, oh, I forgot to check in on Foursquare. So it's like, you know what? There was no value, and as I'm getting these invites from people on different continents, granted, I love you all very dearly. It's one thing on Facebook. It's another thing on Foursquare. I really don't know where the coffee shops and pubs are in your neck of the woods, so it really doesn't affect me. The idea is to keep Foursquare more local. And, you know, so I'm getting all these people that I feel bad about turning them away. I'm accepting things from people that I may see once or twice. I just go, you know, this is a waste. And the funny thing was that I told Lisa Friday, I said, Lisa, I gave up on Foursquare. She goes, I told you to do that months ago.
Yeah.
My 15-year-old daughter saw the writing on the wall. She goes, there's no point.
She's been hanging out with Nikola Tesla.
Well, sometimes I think she's trying to communicate with Mars.
Yeah. Well, let me chime in here. I got to tell you, I had a similar experience. You know, for a long time I was checking into places and I didn't get the mayorship, which you probably heard me talk about before. If any of these places, it kept saying, "Nah, you got so many days.
Right.
Well, it's because my avatar wasn't uploaded. So when I put an avatar, all of a sudden I got four mayorships. But yeah, really, what's the point? I mean, it was kind of fun to check in and But a few times I actually checked in and let it tweet because I was somewhere like at Heroes Con, or, you know,
yep,
or Dragon Con, for example. You know, you get a badge for that, and I thought it'd be cool to put that on Twitter. However, you know, there's no real benefit to it.
No. It was more effort than it was worth.
The only one that actually did say something was Little Caesar's Pizza. I went there and while I was waiting for the pizza, I checked in and it said, the Little Caesars actually tweeted me back and said, thanks for coming. And I said, well, you better be nice to me. I'm the mayor now.
I should get some breadsticks or something.
So yeah, I think I'm going to kind of give it up too. So did you delete your account and everything?
I deleted the app. I haven't deleted the account. I'm waiting to see how annoying it'll be.
Okay.
You know, if I still keep getting some invites or something, I'll kill it. I don't think there's a maybe a 0.005% chance I'm going to go back to it.
Yeah, I'm pretty much stuck with just Facebook and Twitter. I can't.
Yep.
You know, any more than that, it starts, you know, getting too cumbersome.
I also got an Apple TV this past weekend.
Did you now?
I had some Best Buy Reward Zone points to cash in, so that's one of the items I got. And I hooked it up. It's one of the little black ones, a little nice hockey puck style.
All right, that's right.
Very cool. I mean, at first I was thinking, do I need another device to watch Netflix on? I've already got the Wii. I've already got the Blu-ray player. Do I need, you know, something like that? And then the more I talked to Scott Reynolds about it, a good friend of mine, we had lunch last Friday, that he said, don't forget about the, what do they call it, AirPlay stuff, where you can move things around between stuff. So I'll be watching something on the iPad, click the little button, and it shows up on the HDTV.
Mm-hmm.
I can use the iPhone as a remote and start cruising around the menus that way. Now, I sitting on the laptop, you know, playing music, whatever, and just Lisa was playing a game. She was playing Shrek Kart or something on the iPad and drove the sound out the big Onkyo with the...
Oh, you know, really?
4-foot speakers going, wow.
Yeah.
The whole house is rocking out to Shrek music.
Shrek music.
So I mean, it's kind of fun from that perspective. The connectivity, they've got it down. It's really well done.
Mm-hmm.
I am still struggling to try and get the Logitech Harmony One remote to understand the Apple TV and get all the controls there. So that still needs a bit of a tweak. But in the meantime, I use the elegant, lovely little remote that came with it.
How's Netflix with it?
Oh, gorgeous. Faster than the Blu-ray player.
Hmm.
Not quite as fast as the Wii, but the Wii doesn't do HD. So,
right.
Like this Sunday afternoon, Julie and I sat down and watched Fellowship of the Rings in HD. And you can go and manage your queue through there. So you say, oh, I want to search for, you know, whatever. Oh, and here's another nice thing. You know, normally, like with the TiVo or standard remote, you get the Ouija board where you got to go left, 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 F, back, E, left, left, left. Use your iPad or, you know, the standard Apple remote app that's on the iPad or the iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as you go into a search and say, hey, I'm looking for, you know, whatever, up comes your keyboard and you start typing on the phone. It's like, that's the best. No that more Ouija cool. board typing.
Yeah. And you know what? I had a similar experience with a TiVo. They, within the last few weeks, within the last month, they came out with the iPad app for the TiVo.
Oh, really?
And
okay.
So, yeah. So I go into the settings on the TiVo and tell it to allow remote control. You know, so I can open up the iPad app. It says searching for TiVo units. There it is. I can sit there and open up the remote part.
Yeah.
And control it. Either there's two ways to control it, with gestures. So I can like swipe my finger side to side and have it fast forward. I can grab the slider and drag it around.
Does that work on the older TiVos, like a Series 2? Or is it only the new HD ones?
I want to say that it does work on the Series 3. I don't know about the 2, but the app's free. So if you got one, try it.
I'll give it a try. Looking forward to it.
So
it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was really cool. It's great. Shows, actually, when it comes up, it will show you the show that you're watching and all the actors on there. So you can like start tapping around and looking for new shows or whatever. But there's a little up in the top right-hand corner, you can click pause. There's a pause button, but there's also for the full remote, and it comes up on your screen.
Neat.
Yeah, so it is neat.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm liking the Apple TV. The price is right. I don't know if I'm going to be buying or renting any movies or TV shows anytime soon, you know, just because I'm a cheapskate, and most of the apps on my phone and iPad are free. But in terms of the connectivity and things, it's really easy to use.
Hmm. I have to keep that in mind.
So what have you been up to? What's your latest giz?
Well, this last weekend, we went to the Video Games Live show. Have you heard about that? I know we mentioned it on the show. It's kind of like the Bugs Bunny on Broadway.
Okay.
The Bugs on Broadway, where they show clips from the cartoons, yet the orchestra is playing along, you know, with the cartoon. So you get the full effect of all that great Warner Brothers music.
Oh, yeah, we mentioned this on the last show. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's the same idea. They have video clips from video games, and they might be playing the music from the game or stuff like that. So I'm watching here it starts off. They start showing they show Dragon's Lair trailer. I know everybody's seen that. Dragon's Lair, shing, you know. And so, you know, you see Dirk run around, dun, 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 and but they're all, the orchestra's all doing that, and they had a choir in the background too, so they were, any singing would come up, and so the Dragon's Lair thing was cool because I've seen that and I love that game, and you know, the music's with that. Then they had little interspersal clips, like they said player versus player. They would take two video games and mix them up, and one of the little clips was Sonic the Hedgehog versus Pac-Man.
What?
So instead of Pac-Man on the board, there was Sonic, right? I said, what if Sonic was on the Pac-Man board? So the ghosts start moving around, and Sonic goes, and clears out the board really fast. Things like that. So it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, you said you took Harrison?
Oh, absolutely.
What did he think?
These were tickets for me for my birthday, so we all went.
Oh, neat.
Yeah, and you know what? What I thought was cool was he recognized a lot of that music, especially from the arcades, because I've either shown him the games on YouTube, which there's a lot of, you know, if you want to explain a game to somebody, YouTube's the place to go, or we played them in person. There's a little place in town where they refurbish arcade games. So
cool.
He knew a lot of those. A lot of other games he was humming along to, and I was like, how in the world do you know that song? But he's either seen it on YouTube or, you know, somewhere. I don't know. So, but yeah, he got into it. He recognized a lot of that stuff. And my wife, not a gamer, she actually could appreciate a lot of that music, because especially from like Final Fantasy and some of those kind of games.
Yep.
Because you listen to the music. If you did just not knowing it's associated with a game, it's just good music, you know. So they did a great job. They got a couple of guys up there to play games. Like beforehand, they were doing Guitar Hero out in the in the venue.
Yeah,
right. And the one that scored the most, they actually brought him on stage and to compete for a prize. And they did that. And that was a lot of fun. So things like that. Yeah, it's a great show. If it comes to your area, I recommend it. Yeah, it's a good time.
I'll keep a lookout for it.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to finish up with the Geek Library. Let's see, okay. Anything else?
No.
Okay. Geek Library, we have a Doctor Who comic by someone who's never seen the show. Now you're going, what the heck? What the chuck? This is
Why
actually...
would somebody be motivated to do that? Okay.
This is by a woman, and it says right at the top, Doctor Who comics. I've never seen Doctor Who, but this is what I picture. She's never seen the show, huh?
I like the one right here. It looks like David Tennant, and it says, the doctor with hair like this is dead or retired.
So now the show is about the doctor with the hair like this and shows, you know, the Matt Smith kind of hair.
Wait. How would he know that?
I don't know. She must have seen pictures or something. This is done by a woman.
Oh.
So the doctor says, we need to go back in time to solve a thing.
Okay, well, that's accurate.
Yeah, sure. Hod sidekick assistant, I need you. Of course. Okay,
that's
no
accurate.
No time to lose. Get in the TARDIS. Now, I knew what a TARDIS was before I started watching Doctor Who, too, so I'll give you credit there. He's fiddling with the knobs. We use this to go back in time, but not in a Bill and Ted sort of way. Yes, it's probably very different. Anyway, here we go through time. Zoom.
We landed without a moment to spare. Observe.
Not a moment to spare, but observe. That's my favorite part. Like, wait a minute, you're observing what exactly?
Yeah.
Duke of Wellington, duck now.
That's
Why
funny.
Not? Gads. That basketball was going very fast. It would have killed me for sure. Your country is in debt. Be scared, man. I don't know what that was. All in a day's work. Doctor, look. What is it, hot assistant? No, our garbage can robot enemies. They followed us.
Garbage can.
Boop, boop. And then they got this Wonder Twins thing going on. I'm not sure. You know what we have to do. Bam.
Form of water.
Right. The doctor kicks one of the garbage cans.
Right. Form of an icicle.
Seriously, though, I have no idea what's with those what the deal with the robot is. I don't know, man. Let's go home, I guess.
Wow. That's kind of funny.
Well, yeah, that's pretty original. Julie thought that was pretty funny as well.
Okay, the hot assistant part is accurate, by the way.
Well, yeah, most of the time.
Most of the time. Except for if it's a dude, then, you know.
Yeah. then, yeah, never mind. This Jack Harkness thing, it just came to mind, but we'll leave that alone.
Yeah.
Right, real quick, worth mentioning, we're going to wrap it up because we are coming to the end of our show.
I'm sorry, I keep thinking of the big face, but I'm sorry.
News from Trek Today, Star Trek the Animated Series. Yeah, the one from the early 70s is now online at TV.com. You got to go watch. I watched some of it. That was fun.
I did. I watched it a little bit. I need to watch. I stopped because I know I got to watch it with Harrison.
One of my favorite shows, The Jihad. And Bem. Bem from the planet Bem. Love the title.
That is cool.
So, yeah, I'm going to go back and watch because I'm sure there's a
How
billion
many were
things.
There? I'm trying to remember. Was there like 27?
22, something like
22?
That. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, for a couple of years. That was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
So go and relive some past glories if you haven't seen it. Have some fun. It is a bit different than the regular show. So, you know, get ready because there's things you can do in animation that you couldn't do in real life.
Hey, by the way, I like how Kirk always looks like he's striking a pose.
And Scotty's got pecs.
Yeah. Wow.
All right, one last thing. You got to see this on the Still Store, too. This is real quick. How do magnets work? Where did you find this image?
I think it was from Reddit or something like that. Reddit.com.
How magnets work. There's a picture of a magnet that says, magnets are made of metal, which is mined from the ground. Okay, that's factual. They are magnetic because the metal still contains pieces of gravity inside it.
I died laughing when I read that.
And on that note, I guess that's the gravity you could use to dial Mars.
Yeah, let's pull this show down more.
We are done. This is a great finishing note.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to make sure I empty the gravity out of my magnets tonight. Maybe that explains that why they suck up all the information from your floppy disks.
Okay.
Just a reminder, there is no regular show next week. I'm going to be out of town on travel, so unfortunately, Sunday night we will not be recording live, which means we'll find something to put in the stream. Craig's got some ideas for the Technorama news, as do I, so those are always fun and quick and easy to do, so we'll throw a bone that way. We always appreciate your support, appreciate you listening, appreciate you watching. We appreciate you. You're a wonderful person, and we love you, and you can return that love by calling us on the listener line at 206-222-2428. That's 206-222-CHAT to remember it easily. If you don't have numbers on your keypad, again, that's 2428. Email technorama@chuckchat.com. We'd love to hear from you. Show number 300's coming up. Well wishes are appreciated. You know, we love you. You can share the love, send it back, that kind of thing. Just one of those fun things to do. We're not trying to beg or anything, but we do sound desperate.
Please?
There's a reason for that.
Wait a minute.
Oh, yeah. He gets the rim shot.
Actually, some Froongie in the chat room posted instantrimshot.com.
Thanks, Frungy! Yeah. Special thanks to Mad Marv for all the help he gives in the blog each week. Lots of great content over there. If you haven't seen it or been there recently, subscribe on an RSS feed like Google Reader or whatever your favorite reader is. And you can keep active there. Tweet it, comment, you got the idea. Ustream keeps our modest live streams going on Sunday nights. We do broadcast this live, as we mentioned earlier, and then archive it so you can watch it later. So if you want to see what actually happens before we get to the editing and whatnot, it's a lot of fun. Chat room is provided by thinstack.net. Special thanks to Steve Rickenberg and the rest of the crew over there for giving us that for absolutely nothing. It's worth every penny. This show is a proud member of Friends in Tech and Farpoint Media. Check them out at friendsintech.com and farpointmedia.com if you want to get more information. Until next time, tell a friend about Technorama and a binary high five.
My mind's on my blog and my blog's on my mind. 101.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Hope you're all enjoying this little hoedown.